Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Ksuvos, Daf Mem Vav. We're back on Mem Hey Amud Aleph. I was going to say, if you want to even be more accurate, we're on the very bottom of Mem Dal Amud Aleph. We're going to start today with the words Tnei Shila. It's the third last line on Mem Dal Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. Daf is learning Zeh Nishmat Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Moshe Shemra is the topic that we're discussing. It's a parsha in. It's a section of Parshas Ki Tseitse, Perichav Beis. We already went through the Pesukim yesterday. The Torah says that if a person marries a woman and defames her, so there are consequences. The consequences include basically three things. Number one, he gives her malchus. He gives her, sorry. Now remember, I'm sorry, before we begin with that. Remember, there are two sides to Motzi Shemra. Either he's telling the truth or he's lying. And obviously, if he's telling the truth, so that's very serious. That means that she had relations with another man. If there are two witnesses who come step forward and say, not only did she have relations with another man, but it was during Erusin. It was during that period where they were married, even though they weren't living together, the first stage of marriage, but still that. She's a married woman, and therefore, she committed adultery, and she's going to be put to death. Now, generally speaking, an adulteress is put to death through chenek. However, this woman, being a Nara Hamurasa, being in a... I understand that I'm not speaking in a contemporary sense, but in the prime stage of marriage, meaning Narus, so therefore she's subject to a greater punishment. She's going to be receiving skila. That's if he was right. And when I say he's right, by the way, corroborated by two witnesses, obviously. What if he's wrong? Meaning, what if he was lying? What if he was just simply defaming her? Defamation of character. So then the Torah says he has to suffer in very serious consequences. Number one, he gets malchus for reasons we'll explain later on this morning. Number two, he's going to have to pay her a fine, actually pay her father a fine of 100 shkalim. 100 shkalim is, as I pointed out yesterday, the largest fine in the Torah. Fines in the Torah are somewhere in the ballpark around 30 shkalim or 50 shkalim. Sometimes it's a factorial. Sometimes it's, you know, two times the amount or four or five times the amount, but as just a set figure, set number of 100 shkalim. So I'm pretty sure that's the highest highest knas in the Torah that's imposed on the Motzi Shemra. And finally, the third consequence is that he has to marry her. Well, he's already married to her, so I don't really mean that. But in other words, but he cannot divorce her from that point going forward. There's a Isser in the Torah that would be a law for him to divorce her. Those are the consequences of if he fabricated and made up this story. Tani Shila, with that stated, let's go right into it. Let's try to make our way back to where we should be. Today's daf is Mem Vav. We're starting on the bottom of Mem Dalam and Beis. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Shosh Midos Benara, there are three rules basically when it comes to Nara. If the witnesses come after she gets married in her in-law's house is a way the Gemara is describing that, meaning she got married, and the witnesses come after she's married. She's in Sub Beis Avia. I'm sorry, she's in Sub Beis Avia. So can us all Pesach Beis Avia. Sorry, Bala Eidim Beis Chameha. Shizinsa Beves Avia. So the witnesses come after she got married, but the witnesses are telling a story that she committed adultery during Erusin, meaning with another man. Obviously, that's the definition of adultery. So Sokonosal Pesach Beves Avia. And so Skila is given to her at the entrance of her father's house. And by doing this, the objective message being sent is that obviously it's her crime, it's her punishment, but a certain amount of fault is assigned to the parent, meaning the parents, it's the Torah saying to the parents, you know, you have a lot to do with this, meaning obviously it's her crime, she's the one getting punished, but doing it in proximity to the father's house is a way of indicating that the Torah is chastising the father. What if the witnesses come while she's still in her father's house, meaning it's during Erusin, and that she committed adultery during Erusin, so it's still adultery. The only thing that's going to change over here, the only variable is going to be where she's going to get the skila. So, So there, the skila is done Pesach Sha'ir by the entrance of the gate. So let's say now sarcha is a term that's used to mean that she strayed, meaning she committed adultery, and afterwards she becomes now a bogeris, meaning that the Beis Din just simply didn't convene until she's a bogeris. So now, even though the act of adultery occurred during her state of narus, but Beis Din just simply didn't get everything together until now she's a bogeris. And remember, there's only a 6-month window of time from the time that she becomes a narus to the time she becomes a bogeris. So Easy to imagine that based in just simply not judging her till later, titon bechenek. So now that she's a bulgaris, so again, it's adultery, it's a capital crime, she's going to be put to death, but in the regular way that a woman's put to death through adultery, and that's chenek, and she does not get this special halacha, if you will, of skila. So that's a chiddush, meaning it's a big chiddush, because the act, the crime itself was committed while she was a nara, and just because Beis Din didn't actually convict her until a later point in time, but why should the conviction change? So that's obviously a chiddush on the Braisa. So, and to which the Gemara reacts immediately to that chiddush of the Braisa. Gemara says, really? So interesting that her body changes, meaning she goes through a new developmental stage of her maturation. She's moving from nara to bagrus, and as a result of that, her death sentence is going to change. In other words, time didn't change the fact that she committed the act of adultery when she was a nara. So why, just because she now is a new stage of maturity, her death sentence is going to change? The Gemara says, is that true? V'herminu nara merasa shezinta mishibagra otzi Allah shemra hu eino loke ve'eino nosne me'asela hi v'zomeh makdim lebeis haskila. We have a brisa. Now, I'll read the brisa, I'll translate the brisa, but there are going to be some just glaring problems with the brisa, which the Gemara is going to iron out. And then obviously we're going to ask our question. The Nara Hamurasa who commits adultery, and then she becomes a Bogeris. So in other words, again, the crime is committed when she's a Nara, but the Beis Din does not get their Beis Din in order and try her and convict her until she's a Bogeris. So, Hotzi Allah Shemra, so let's say the husband was lying and it was defamation of character. He is not subject to Malkus, he doesn't pay the 100 Selah, meaning those are halachas specific to when she's a Nara. He vizomemeh amakdim lebeis haskila. However, she together with her edim zomemim. That means, and again, I know this is going to be problematic. That means that she is going to be put to death, and so is the edim zomemim. Meaning, the two witnesses who falsely testified about the fact that she committed adultery, they're also going to be sent to the beis haskila. To which the Gemara immediately reacts. He vizomemeh sakadacha. Wait a second. I can understand either she being sent to the to be executed because she committed adultery. I can understand the Edom Zomimim, who are, the Torah imposes the same penalty upon them that they conspired to do against the defendant. They're going to be sent to the Beis Haskila if they, in fact they were found to be Edom Zomimim. But it can't be both. It's either going to be her or the Edom Zomimim that are going to be sent to the Beis Haskila. So, What now is the issue? The issue is very simple. Earlier, the Gemara said that if she committed adultery when she was a Nara and then she becomes a Bogeres, so now she gets the regular capital punishment of a woman who commits adultery, i.e. Chenek. Why? Even though she committed adultery as a Nara, nevertheless she was tried and convicted as a Bogeres, so therefore the punishment goes as a Bogeres. We just learned a Brisa together, and the Brisa says exactly the opposite. Well, not opposite, but her punishment does not change. Meaning, even though she becomes a Bogeres, nevertheless, the punishment is going to be for her, Skila. Now, if they're Edim Zomimim and they're caught as Edim Zomimim, they're going to be sent to Skila. But the point is that the capital crime is going to, the capital punishment is going to be Skila, not Chenek. That's a problem. I'm a Rav Motzi Shemra Kamar Shani Motzi Roshemra Dechidushu Da Nichnasa L'Chuba V'Lo Nivala Ba'ama V'Zimsa B'Chenek V'Ilo Motzi Shemra B'Skila. To which the Gemara says, Motzi Shemra is a Yotzei Menaklal. It's an exception to the rule. Meaning the rule is that generally speaking, when you go through a different stage of life, when you enter into a new phase of life, so the punishment is in fact going to change. However, when it comes to the Motzi Shemra, for reasons we're about to articulate, it is an exceptional rule. Even if she undergoes a change, so nevertheless, the punishment is going to remain the same. The Gemara says, how do we make this argument? The Gemara refers to Motzi Shemra as a chiddush. It's a novelty in itself, meaning it's a halacha which goes against the general rules of the Torah. Why? So the Gemara goes on to say, I'm rereading the last two lines. Because think about it. What happens in the Motzi Shemra? In the case of Motzi Shemra, she was a Murasa, and then she goes to the second stage of marriage. Okay, so in other words, she went from Erisin to Nisuin. V'lo nivala ba'ama v'zinsa b'chenek. Now, under these circumstances where you went through a serious change in status, meaning any forms we fill out nowadays, right? They ask for marital status. So, right? Either married or not married. Now, I know in halacha, there are two parts to the marriage. There's erisin and there's nisuin. But nisuin, as we've gone over a number of times, again, it's always difficult to wrap our heads around. Ever since they're married, but in terms of living together, husband and wife, married, meaning marital status, so nisuin. Nisuin creates and solidifies the marriage. They live together. So when you go from Erisin to Nisuin, that is a status change. And generally, what then becomes of the woman who commits adultery? Chenek. Meaning, generally speaking, the woman is no longer Nara Hamu'urasa. She's no longer in that special state. She's normally now, she's married. She's gone through Nisuin. And therefore, if adultery is committed after that point in time, even if she didn't have relations with her husband, but still, she wanted to wet Nisuin. She's now married. So adultery from that point going forward is chenek. And meanwhile, the ilah motzi shemra b'skila. And meanwhile, the whole case of motzi shemra is built around the fact that she just got married. She just went through Nisuin. The next morning, he wakes up, he runs to Beis Din. My wife is not a besula. So, and yet, the Torah says, what happens to her? Skila. So you see that Motzi Shemra already breaks the general rules of the Torah. General rule of the Torah is, you're married, chenek. Here by Motzi Shemra, even though she gets married, skila. So it shouldn't bother you, says Rava, that when she becomes a bogeres, so it's not her capital crime is not going to change. Amalei Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishula Rav Adil Makichazis Rachmana Hechad Ol Ishtana Gufa VaHechad Ishtana Gufa Lo Chadis Rachmana. To which the Gemara proposes, look, there are different types of changes. If you're changing from your status from being not married to married, okay, that's a status change, but you didn't go through a physical maturation. You didn't go through a change. The only thing that happened is it's not small, but the only thing that happened is now you're married. However, over here we're talking about Bagrus. Bagrus is a different physical maturation point. And what the Gemara now is proposing is, I agree with you, Motzi Shemra is the Chiddush, but let's limit the Chiddush of the Torah. In other words, you're now applying the Chiddush of the Torah to the case where she becomes a Bogeris. That's a new physical stage in life. What the Gemara describes as Ishtani Gufa. Her body now has changed. So maybe if she undergoes a more quote-unquote radical change, maybe then we wouldn't apply the Chiddush HaTorah. Elam Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Yishtani V'lo Yishtani Tanayim. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, look, here's how I'm going to sum it up. I think it's a Machlokas Tanayim. Meaning, does her capital crime change when she undergoes Bagrus? To which the Gemara says, it's a Machlokas. And the Machlokas goes like this. Gemara is now quoting from Horios. Just a quick sentence of background before we see this brisa together in Horios. We know that if you and I were to b'shogeg, inadvertently violate any one of these suri karis, so any one of us, let's say for example, we forget Shabbos, we wake up in the morning and we do malachas. So if there was a beis hamikdash, we have to bring a karban chatas. What is our karban chatas? Okay, once again, we're in the right parsha to discuss it. Parshas Vayikra. So what is a karban chatas? So the Torah says kisva seira. It's either a female sheep or female lamb. The female sheep, female goat. So that's the kifsasira. So that's what we bring as a karban chatas. Good. But the Torah goes on to describe again this week's parsha. The Torah goes on to describe that if you are a melech, if you're a kohen gadol, and b'shogeg and inadvertently you violate any one of these suri kares, so you have to bring a different karban. What karbanas do you need to bring? So if you are a if you're a nasi, you bring a seir, male goat for a nasi. If you are a kohen gadol, you bring a par, a bull, male bull. Okay, and that's generally, in other words, for chatas, for the rest of us, it's going to be a female animal. For the nasi and for the kohen gadol, it's going to be either a male goat or a male bull. Okay, so chatu achalo nisnamnu v'nisnamnu harein kedyotos. And now that you know all the ground rules, and so now you totally understand what we're about to see. What if the crime was violent? Now, I say crime, by the way, it was an inadvertent act, but still, an inadvertent means should have been more careful. Okay, it's an action that you need to bring a karban chatas for, and you did it when you were a hedyot, meaning you were a regular person. And then what happens is you get an appointment to become either the kohen gadol or to be the king. What kind of karban do you need to bring? Does your karban change because your status changed, or do we go back to the time when you committed the crime? That's what the Mishnah in Horios is discussing. So chatu achelo nisnamnu b'nisnamnu harein ked yotos. So as long as the chet was done while you were a commoner, you bring the carbon of a commoner. Rabbi Shimon Omer im nodel hem achelo nisnamnu chayavim mishin nisnamnu peturim. If, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you were told about the crime, meaning, remember, it's a show gig, so at the time when you committed the crime, you may not have even known about it. But then afterwards, you became aware. If the point of awareness becomes before the appointment, so then fine. So then you bring the carbon of a commoner. However, mishen nisnamnu, however, you committed the crime as a commoner. You were informed about what you did wrong after the appointment. Piturim, according to Rabbi Shimon, these people are going to be exempt from having to bring a carbon. Now, why should that be? So what the Gemara now is proposing, the argument of the Gemara right now is, it's because you want to change your status. And a change of status is going to be a total break in the action. And therefore, you can't bring a carbon because your crime, your chait, and the information that you did the chait did not come while you were in the same status. That's what the Gemara is arguing over here. To which the Gemara says, "Amar d'shamin l'Rabbi Shimon d'azal af baster yediyah d'azal baster yediyah v'lo azal baster chata mishamis lei." To which the Gemara says, "Look, you're meaning the machlokas and harios is the machlokas and harios that cannot change, but to apply it to our case over here, Gemara says no. All Rabbi Shimon is teaching us is the following: change of status is significant. That's true." But you know what it means as it relates to a carbon? That you have to commit the crime and know about it during the same status period. That's all we can generate. That's the only conclusion we can generate from the case in Horios. But over here, it's a much different set of halachas. Over here, the crime was committed in one state. She's going to be given a particular capital punishment. She now moves to a new status of life. She goes from Nara to Bogeres. We're going to change her capital punishment. That we can't apply from the case in Horios. Because in Horios, look, what happens when the chait's done in one state and the information is given to them in the next state? No carbon whatsoever. So you can't generate a halacha from what we learned in Horios. So im kein lesi carbon ki dahashta. The Gemara says, because think about it. If you want to properly compare the two cases, what should happen in the world of carbon? Give the carbon as if you sinned when you were a Kohen Gadol, or if you sinned as you were a Nasi. Ki dahashta, mashuach parva nasi seir. So, okay, good. So the Gemara says, that's what would have been had the cases been comparable. Hamalei Rav Yochan Latana, tani tidon biskila. The Gemara says, okay, when the Brisa was reported in front of Rav Yochanan, meaning the Brisa says that she's judged with Chenek, so Rav Yochanan immediately tells the person telling him the Brisa, no, correct yourself, edit the Brisa. The Brisa should end off of the words with Tidon Beskila. To which the Gemara says, I understand. The punishment of Skila is a special capital punishment for a Nara. She's no longer a Nara, she's a Bogeris. I'm Rav Elai, I'm a Kra, Han Na'ara. Na'ara Sha'isa Kvar. The Gemara says very simple. What do you mean? I know she's now a Bogeris, but when did she commit the crime? When she was a Nara. So the Gemara says, so therefore just because she developed into a Bogeris doesn't mean that her punishment is going to change. To which the Gemara says, okay, so this is how you want to understand it. As long as the crime is committed when she's a Nara, even though now we're at a later developmental point, so her capital crime remains Skila. Fine. And the way you want to understand the pasuk of Hanara means, as long as when she committed the crime, she was a Nara, so therefore Skila. That's how you want to understand it. The Gemara says, okay, but remember, there are two sides to Motzi Shemra. Either he was right or he was wrong. So if he's right, so fine, so give her skila. And what if he was wrong? So shouldn't we apply all the halachas of Motzi Shemra if he's wrong? Which means, Malkus, Meashkalim, he can't divorce her. And meanwhile, we learned earlier this morning in the Brisa that if he's wrong and she's no longer Nara, we don't apply any of the punishments to him. To which the Gemara now is saying, and why should that be? So, Amalei Rechman and Islam Haidaita. To which the response is, God save us from that thought process. Meaning it's just a sharp way of saying, I don't see the question. To which the Gemara's answer is, Adarabba Rechman and Islam Haidaita Didach. The response is, no, God save us from your thought process. Meaning, the question I think is excellent. Okay, so a little little banter, if you will, amongst the Amoraim in terms of, it's a good question, it's not a good question, the time am I, but now the Gemara is going to explore what underlies all this. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Barav, and Vitem Rabbi Yitzchak Barav, Zeh Maisa Garmula, Vizeh Akimat Sfasav Garmulo. We can't compare the two because even though they're both heinous and they're both inexcusable, but still, the Gemara points out, there's still a fundamental difference. In the world of Averos, an Avera that's done with a body is more punishable, meaning not, I'm not comparing Averos. The Gemara is not comparing Averos either. Meaning it's just in terms of what we know about what the Torah punishes, the Torah is much more responsive to actions done with the body than with the words that come out of your mouth. Meaning, basic halacha. We've seen this time and again throughout the Gemara. A dibur, an action, a talking, right, a crime that's committed with speech, not subject to malchus. So the Gemara says, do you want to know why it is that we're going to be more open to maintaining the punishment of her as opposed to him? It's because her crime was committed with her body. His crime was committed with a mouth. So akimat svasav garmalo. Zem aysa garmalo. Kishi zanai nara zanai. Vizu akimat svasav garmalo. Emas kamechaya vayishaita. Vayishaita bogeres avai. Look, when it comes to her action was done with her body. So that goes back to the time when she was a nara. The fact that now court is convening at a later point in time, the fact that now she's a bogeres, okay. But when all said and done, the crime is done with her body, which was done when she was a nara. That's why over there we're not going to say the punishment's going to change. Over here, when it comes to Motzi Shemra, yes, he defamed her yesterday. But when are we now clarifying whether it was either a correct charge or it was defamation of character? We're clarifying that point right now. And right now she's a Bulgarist. And that's why, says the Gemara, it's the punishment of him is more apt to change than the punishment of her. To which the Gemara says, Bulgarist Havai. Period. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Again, there's no act. In other words, there was an accusation that was made, and either the accusation's true or it's not true.
So if it's true, there's an act.
And if it's true, it's not good. And then what the Gemara is arguing is that not only is she going to get skila, but even if she becomes a begerish, she's going to get skila because it all goes back to the act.
Okay, and if there's no act that way, and if an act, the accusation is an act.
Right, but that's exactly the point of the Gemara. It's not an act, meaning it's not a maisa. It's dibur. And that point of dibur is only going to get clarified at a later point in time. Okay.
In terms of the current on the status and the girl doing Mr. B. Bazan, there's difference also in the fact that one is Meshogeg and one is Bemezid. I mean, she knows what she's doing.
Right. In other words, going back to the comparison the Gemara made between Horios and our cases over here, agree. Meaning, the Gemara admitted that although it was an attempt to compare the two, the Gemara admitted that it's difficult to compare those two cases.
Why is lashon hara is not worse than crime with the body?
Why it's again worse? Saying the word worse over here in learning Gemara, the punishment is different because lashon hara is just it's dibur, it's speech.
Consequences are worse than
I understand. No, meaning that's exactly my point. Meaning, don't conflate those two issues, right? Motzi Shemra is terrible, right? You read the Gemara in Erechin about Motzi Shemra, about Lashon Hara, it's terrible, right? So read the Sefer Chinuch, read the Chafetz Chaim, meaning it's terrible. But we're just learning Gemara right now. We are learning about punishments, corporal punishment. Corporal punishment for speeches, that there's no malchus. Now there's an opinion, Rav Yehuda, which hopefully we're going to get to later this morning. Rav Yehuda says you get malchus, but that's not the halacha. Halacha is you don't get malchus for speech. That's the basic halacha. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. Now we're on Mem Hamad Beis Nara Amurasa Shizinsa Sokunasol Pesach Beis Avia. Okay, some very detailed halachas in terms of where she receives the skila. So the Brisa says that if she committed adultery while she was an Nara Amurasa, so she's going to get skila, and it's Pesach Beis Avia. It's going to be at the entrance of her father's house. Ainli Pesach Beis Avia Sokunasol Pesach Shar Ha'ir. If there is no entrance, in other words, they're homeless. So then you move the proceedings, you move the execution to Shar Ha'ir, to the gate of the city. Now, if that particular city is most mostly occupied by non-Jews. So then you move the proceedings over to Beis Din. Kayotze b'davar ta'omer. And the Gemara points out that we have a similar set of halachas when it comes to avodah zara. However, avodah kochav soknaso sha'avad bo. With the skila is done by avodah zara in the gate of the city where he violated idolatry, where he worshipped idolatry. Even though, as Rashi points out over here, even though if the conviction occurred in a Beis Din somewhere else, over here Shirubav the Kochavim Soknasol Pesach Beis Din. And again, if the majority of the people there are of the Kochavim, so then you go in front of Beis Din. Minani Mila the Tana Rabban, and the Gemara says, okay, that's the Brisa, and the Brisa just gave us a lot of information generated. The Brisa doesn't tell us where this is generated from. To which the Gemara then goes and gives us another Brisa, which connects the halachas to psukim. So we are going to work backwards. We're going to start with avodah zara. Tan rabban and sha'arech is ushar sha'avad bo. Sha'arech is a reference to the city where you were oved avodah zara, where you actually did the worship. Ata omer shar sha'avad bo. I know elashar hani shenidon bo. No, maybe you should be in the court that judged you. Nemar sha'arech lamata v'nemar sha'arech lamala. Ma sha'arech lamor lamala shar sha'avad bo. Af sha'arech lamor lamata shar sha'avad bo. So Gemara says gzeir sheva. Look at the parsha and you'll see within the parsha that the sharech has a reference to the city that you actually did the avodah zara. Davar achir sharech v'lo sharech de kochavim. And another drasha that ends this brisa is that it has to be your gates, meaning possession, meaning not the gates of a city which is mostly occupied by Gaim, which brings us back to that next halacha that we saw together in the brisa, that if the majority of the city is occupied by non-Jews, so then you move the execution to Beis Din. Hai sharech afik day. So the Gemara says now, just in terms of drashas, we violated one of the most basic rules, which is that we darshan two things out of the same pasuk, out of the same word. To which the Gemara says, "Lemekra sha'ar, my sha'arecha shma min atarti." To which the Gemara says, "It's the sha'ar and sha'arecha. It's one drash is being darshan from the sha'ar, and the other being from the suffix." Avodas kocham nara marasam. I'm sorry, Ashkechan avodas kocham nara marasam min olam. Now we get to the other series of halachas, which is a nara marasa. Amar Abi Abba, Gamar Pesach mi Pesach, Pesach mi Shar, Vishar mi Sha'arecha. So the Gemara gives us a long list of gzeiros shavos, one word connecting to another word connecting to another word, which basically through these series of gzeiros shavos, bring us to the point where the Nara Marasa also is going to be stoned, if not at her father's house, then by the gate of the city, and if the majority of the city is occupied by non-Jews, so then you go to the gate of the Beis Din. Interesting, Rashi, I'll just bring it up very quickly over here. Rashi over here says that this is not a gzeiros shavos, it's really a smachta. Right, the smachta de Rabbanan ba'alma. Okay, it's an asmachta, which is just, it's an interesting Rashi. I don't know what to make of it, and the reason why I say that is because we're talking about where to execute, right? The Chachamim are going to give us asmachtas in terms of where to execute. It's, all right, sounds like from the Gemara, they're bona fide gzeiros shavos. So I don't quite follow what motivated Rashi to say they were asmachtas. Let's move on. Tanur Rabbanan, Amotzi Shemar Lokev and Asa Me'asela, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lukos Lokev Mikomakom, Me'asela Baal Nosein Lo Baal Eino Nosein. Okay. Basic halachas regarding the Motzi Shemra. Now again, if he's wrong, if it was defamation, so he's going to get malchus and he has to pay the fine. So, according to the Tanakhama, exactly. Meaning, correct. You get if it was defamation, if he lied, so he's going to get malchus and he has to pay a fine of 100 sela. According to Rav Yehuda, he's always going to get malchus. However, when it comes to the fine of 100 sela, so that's only if they had relations. Meaning this special halacha of Motzi Shemra, which is going to force him to reach into his pocket and pay the family, her father, 100 salayim. That's only going to be is if the first night of marriage they had relations. But if they did not have relations that first night of marriage, so then he does not pay the 100 salam. Now, the Gemara says, what's at the root of this machlokis? Kamiflagi beplug to the Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and Rabbanan. The Gemara says that they're having a debate regarding the same machlokis as Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov and Chachamim. Don't worry if you don't remember. The Gemara has not introduced us to this machlokas yet. It's coming up on today's daf mem vav. So hopefully later this morning we're going to get to the machlokas inside. So v'hachi kamar. Now, I'll wait till the Gemara gets to it in terms of flushing out the machlokes. But the Gemara right now explains, here's what's going on right now. So, the Motzi Shemra is going to be subject to Malkus and is going to have to pay her the 100, whether he does or does not have relations with her. Rav Yehuda Omer, Lokos Lokem, Mikom Akom. Mea Sela Baal Nosein, Lo Baal Einu Nosein. Ki Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And what we'll do is we're going to line up Rav Yehuda together with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. He's going to get Malkus for defamation, period. And then, in terms of the halachas of Motzi Shemra, in terms of the halachas of having to pay her 100 selah, that's only going to be contingent on whether they did or did not have relations on the first night of marriage. How can you get Malkus? Now we're going to see this together inside. How can you get Malkus for just defamation, meaning that's Lashon Hara, or the Gemara in a moment is going to call it Rechilus? So how can you get Malkus for that? Again, it's not a Maisa Shebeguf, it's not an action. So Rav Yehuda, consistent with his position, holds that you get Malkus even for a Lav She'enbo Maisa. Even though there is no action, Rav Yehuda says you get Malkus for those types of Lavim as well. Good. The Gemara says another way to learn this brisa is that the entire brisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and here's how it goes. If he defamed her, and after the first night of relations, after the first night of marriage where they had relations, so then we fall under the category of Motzi Shemra. He gets Malkus and he has to pay her 100 selah. And I lost my spot. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lokos Lokem Mikom Akom. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Malkus is given whether they did or did not have relations. And the reason why is, again, Rabbi Yehuda consistent with a position, which is that Rechilus by itself, Malkus. V'sav Rav Yehuda, Lokos Loke, my time, I'm sorry, Mikom Akom, but time, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Baal Loke, Lo Baal, Eino Loke, to which the Gemara says, yeah, but according to Rav Yehuda says that if he had relations with her, he gets Malkus. If he doesn't, he doesn't get Malkus. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Loke, Malkus, Mardus, Midrabanan. So when it says you get Malkus, it means that, not that you deserve Malkus min haTorah, it's Malkus Mardus, it is rabbinic lashes Midrabanan. Rav Papa Amar my Baal Loke Diktani Hasam Mamon, the very top of Menvav Amid Aleph. Rav Papa says that when it says that the husband is going to be receiving Malkus, what that means is as follows. Malkus over here, not to be understood literally as Malkus, it means a fine. So the Gemara says, really? You do that? You can do that? A fine is called Malkus? Vikari le lamam and Malkus in? The Gemara says, absolutely, you can do that. Vatanan, the Gemara says, I'll show you an example where we refer to a fine as Malkus. By the way, even in the English, in the vernacular English, you totally hear that. I got hit with a fine. Right? What does that mean? You didn't get hit? In other words, even in the vernacular, we speak like that. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example. If I make the following pledge, you see that guy over there? I want to give half of his erech. Okay, we know that the Torah gives a fixed amount of how much everyone's erech is worth, based on only two factors, age and gender. I make a declaration, and I want to say, you know, Torah says that for that person, I give an erech of whatever the fixed value is, I'm going to give half of that. So, according to the Tanna Kamma, good. You just made a pledge that you're going to give half of it. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you get Malkus, and you have to give the full erech. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Loke, am I? What'd you do wrong? You're going to get Malkus? That doesn't make sense. So, Amar Papa, Loke be'erech shalein. Again, loka over here means exactly the point. Loka over here means you're going to get hit with a fine. And the fine is that you have to pay the full erech. To which the Gemara explains, why should that be? My taima, gzera chetzi arko, atu erech chetzio. Erech chetzio, havalei evishan Hashem etuliyabo. Okay, just quickly to explain this, it's not our discussion, but in Erechim we discuss this in much greater length. The idea is as follows. If, let's say, instead of saying, I want to give half of his erech, I say I want to give an erech of half of him. What's the halacha? Halacha is, half of him has got to include significant organs. Organs that the person cannot live without. So in other words, if I say I want to give erech of half of him, I'm really on the hook for the entire erech. There's no such thing of half of him without the other half. So in terms of damim, we could talk about organs, limbs. In terms of erech, once you're hitting a significant organ, right, a heart, a brain, once you're hitting a significant organ, so then the erech, you're on the hook for the entire erech. So there is a thin line between saying the words erech chetzio and chatzi arko, to which the Gemara says, not everyone's going to understand the difference. So once you say those two words, regardless of which order you put them in, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, you're on the hook for the full erech. And the only reason why we brought this down right now is just to show that the word loka over here means you're subject to a fine. In other words, loka is not to be understood literally as you're going to get malchus. Tana Rabbanan. V'anshu asu zumamam v'yisu zemalchus. Okay, now we go back and this is exactly how Gemara works. We hit all those very, very small details of the halacha motzi shemra, and now we take a step backwards and we go over some of the more basic halachas. If it is in fact a defamation of her character and he lied, so the Torah says you're ma'anesh him and you give him yisurim, to which the Gemara now gives us the basic definitions of what they are. Anshuroso, mamon. Yisuroso, malchus. Bishlama, the Gemara says, look, half of this is clear and obvious. Bishlama, vanshuroso, mamon, dichsi, vanshuroso, mea kesef. Venasnu lavi anara. Just reading the psukim, you know that's exactly what it means. Onish over here means he has to pay a fine. Elav Yisur Zuzu Malkus Minalan. But how do I know that Yisurim is a reference to Malkus? Ama Rabbi Abahu, Lamana Yisurim 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 Benu Ben Mi Bin Vaya Im Bin Hakos HaRasha. Once again, the Gemara strings together a long Zereshava, getting us from one Pasuk to another Pasuk, getting us to the Pasuk of Vaya Im Bin Hakos HaRasha, which is where the Torah goes out and states explicitly Malkus. Okay. Next part of the Gemara. Here's a basic rule in all of Halach and all of the Torah. There's only corporal punishment if there's another pasuk that tells you about don't do it. Ein onchin ella im kein mazirin. There has to be two pasukim in the Torah for every punishment. One where the pasuk tells you don't do it, and another says, now if you do it, here's the punishment that you're going to receive. Best example, obviously countless examples, but best example would be Parshas Achrimos, followed then by Parshas Kedoshim. And Achrimos, the Torah sets the table. Don't have relations with her and with her and with her. In other words, there's all the don'ts. And then in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says, and the punishment is if you do it there, is this if you do this, and this if you do this. So in other words, you need a pasuk for the Azara, you need a separate pasuk for the Onesh. Now the Gemara wants to know. In the Parsha, in Parsha's Kiseit say, the Torah says, if you're Motzi Shemra, so these are the punishments. Where's the Azhara? Where's the Pasuk telling you not to do it? So I'm sure we all know the answer, but the Gemara's going to spell it out. Azhara Motzi Shemra Min Elan, Rebbe Lazar Omer, Milos Elech Rachil. Go back to Parsha's Kedoshim. The Torah says, don't gossip, don't slander. Okay. Rabbi Nazan Omer, Mi Vinishmarta Mikol Davar Ra. And Rabbi Nassim says that you have to nishmarta, that's a lav in the Torah, that's a negative prohibition. Rashi points out the four key words that tells us that it's a lav: hishamer, pen, al, and obviously the word lo, that's all negative prohibitions. So hishamer mikol davara, and included in davara is...
That's like so vague.
Agreed. The Gemara is going to critique both. Okay, now, so basically we have two Azaras in the Torah that the Gemara is pointing to in terms of where is the warning not to be Motzi Shema. Why does each... is this Tanaim or Amoraim? Sounds like Tanaim. Why does each Tana offer a different pasuk? So Rabbi Lazar, my Tamalo Amar Mehai. So why doesn't Rabbi Lazar choose the pasuk of Nishmatim called Avra? Haumi Bailele Chedra Pinchas Ben Yair. Nishmatim called Avra. Mikanamar Pinchas Ben Yair. Al Yair Adambi Yomvi Avoli Day Tuma Balaila. So totally different halacha is learned out from the pasuk. Yishmatim called davara. Notably, that you're not allowed to have illicit thoughts during the day, because if you do, so that night you'll have nocturnal emission, and it'll be mostly shechvat zer levatala. So the Gemara says that's what he learns out from the pasuk. And Rabbi Nelson, my time alo amar mehai. Now, why doesn't Rabbi Nelson learn out from the pasuk of lo selech rachil? That seemingly is an excellent source that you're not allowed to defame. So the Gemara says, "Aula zar lebeisir shalei rach lezeh v'kash lezeh." Interesting. The Gemara says Rabbi Nassan generates another halacha from this pasuk, and that is that basting cannot be soft to one person and hard to another. And Rashi over here points out, rach lezeh, rachil is a contraction of the word rach li tiyeh, meaning he was, when I went to court, I got off easy. In other words, that's not the way that a judge should adjudicate. A judge should be consistent, professional, for every person. And that's what that's what's generated from the pasuk of Lo Yerachil. Lo Selech Rachil. Lo Amar Le'edim. Now, this is a continuation of the Braisa. Lo Amar Le'edim Bo Ve'edim Ve'hein Me'edim Oso Me'alayim. Okay, now Motzi Shemra. So remember, what happened? He feels that she was not a Basula. And witnesses came forward. Did he bring the witnesses to come forward? The answer is yes. But to what degree... Okay, that part was clear. But to what degree did he bring them in? So I'll read the Pesukim, and so let us just take a look and for a moment. Okay, so his claim was that she wasn't that she was not a virgin, and and the father retorts, okay, so all right, fine, not clear from the psukim to what degree he brought the witnesses. The Bryce is going to be discussing that right now. Let's say as follows. The witnesses are the ones who came forward with no prompting whatsoever by the husband. Meaning, they come forward and they make an accusation against her and they say, you know, she committed adultery and she was a Nara Amarasa. Is he going to be subject to the halachas of Motzi Shemra? So, intuitively, the answer would be no. And that's the halacha. So he's not subject to Malkus, and he's not going to receive the fine of 100 selah. He v'zomemek dim lebeis askila. And once again, the bright ends off with that very awkward. You know, she together with the Adam zomemem are going to be sent out to the beis askila. And immediately the Gemara corrects itself. He v'zomemek al gadach. Look, it's one or the other. So ela ohi ozomememek dim lebeis askila. To which the Gemara immediately corrects and says, correct. It's either going to be her, it's going to be the Adam Zomimim. But time of the law, Amr Lahu, Amr Lahu, Afagav de law, Agrinu, La Agrinu. Fine. Now let's move the dial just a little bit. Meaning we now know that if he didn't prompt the witnesses whatsoever to come, they came on their own. And they are leveling a charge against her that not only is she not a virgin, but she committed adultery during Erusin. Fine. Obviously, if they're wrong, that's not Motzi Shemra. Because that was not defamation on his part. He didn't ask the witnesses to come. What if let's move the dial just a little bit. What if he asked the witnesses to come? He made a formal petition. I guess he asked the court to subpoena these two people, however the specifics are, but he asked them to come. Is that Motzi Shemra? So right now the Gemara's understanding is, yes, that is. Afagav de lo agrinum. Now, let's move the dial just a little bit further. What if he paid these witnesses to come? Now, I understand that's very serious. That's that's unethical. Let's just say that way. Okay, but if he paid the witnesses to come, clearly that's defamation. Meaning now, not only is he asking two witnesses to come, but they're paying him to come. That's clearly defamation. The Gemara points out that it's the opinion of Rav Yehuda that it's only going to be Motzi Shemra if he pays them to come. La fukim into Rav Yehuda, the time Rav Yehuda amenu chayav ashis koreidim. According to Rav Yehuda, he's actually got to pay them to come. My time into Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rabbi Abba, asya sima sima, ksiv hacham. Okay, exactly. Right, I was looking in the psukim. Where do we see that in the psukim? The answer is, you're not going to see that clearly in the psukim. It's based on gzera shava. V'sam la alilos devarim, uksiv hasam, lo sisimu na lav neshech. We have gzera shava linking the two simas together, and we know neshech obviously involves money. So too does Motzi Shemra. It has to involve money. How does it involve money? He paid two witnesses to come. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Malahala mamon of kamamon. Okay. So, in terms of when is he liable for Motzi Shemra? Machlok is amongst the Tanaim. Either A, he asks them to come, or B, he has to pay them to come. Okay, and the Gemara points out the Braisa is not in agreement with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it's only Motzi Shemra when he pays, and the Braisa seemingly disagrees. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Vechentini Rav Yosef Tzidon Bei Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Asya Simasima, the Gemara quotes the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. Again, the same Gzeirah Shava. He has to pay them to come. By Rav Yirmiyah Sachrem Bekarkamahu. And now, this is the Gemara in classic mode, right? A number of very specific questions. You just generated Gzeirah Shava based on this, telling us that you have to pay based on a pasuk regarding interest. Interest obviously involves money. Let's say he does pay off the witnesses to come and testify, but he pays them with property. Is that Moshe Shemra? Bepachos mishava pruta mahu. What if he pays them but less than a significant amount of money? Is that Moshe Shemra? Shnei bepruta mahu. What if he gives one pruta but only between the two witnesses? These witnesses were really cheap, right? Each one of them not even collecting a full pruta, but only between the two they got one pruta. So a series of very specific questions, meaning did you trip the wire of Moshe Shemra in these cases? By Rav Ashi, Moshe Shemra al nisun harishon mahu. What if you were not Motzi Shemra with of her regarding your period of Erisin with her, but let's say you make a claim against her from a previous marriage, Al Nesuei Achiv Mahu, or let's say you're the Yavam, the brother-in-law, who is now marrying her, and to a certain degree you're taking the place of your brother. Can you make a defamation charge against her? And again, the idea of the Gemara right now is that are you going to be subject to all the rules of Motzi Shemra if you do? Pasha Miachada, the Gemara says, look, one of these we can absolutely respond to, and that's the Ni Rav Yonah we learned in the Braisa, Es Besina Sazel Ish Hazeh, key in on the word Hazeh, Lazeh V'lo Liavam. It has to be specifically for this and not for the brother-in-law. Okay. My Rabbanah, my Rav Lazeh Ben Yaakov. All right, and this, let's finish up. We saw together a machlokus between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim. In order to elicit all the rules of Motzi Shemra, so do they have to have relations the night prior? As we're going to see now in the next couple of minutes. And if you read the Pesukim, it's pretty clear from the Pesukim, of course they had relations the night prior. We're going to see the Pesukim in just a moment. To make the other argument, it's going to be very difficult. It's really not the simple pshat, but the Gemara is going to point out this is the machlokus. Ketzad hotzid tanya. Ketzad hotzid Hashemra ba'al lebezden v'amar ploni lamatzas lebitcha besulim im yeshedim shezinsa tachtev yesh la ksuva mane. If witnesses come and tell us that she committed adultery, her ksuva is going to be dropped to 100. Again, the Gemara has to immediately react to that statement of the Braisa. What is the Braisa talking about? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? She's getting skila. Obviously, she committed adultery. If, let's say, witnesses come and corroborated that she did have relations before Erisin, so the ksuva goes down to 100. Remember, this was a discussion we had in the beginning of the Masechta. He married her under the assumption she was a Basula, and it turns out that she was a Ba'ula, so you can make two arguments. One argument is that it's a Mekach Taos, and that negates the whole marriage, or the other argument is, no, it's not, and it just simply drops the ksuva from 200 down to 100. As Rashi points out over here, obviously, this Bryce is working with the second opinion, not the first. Nimsa Shemra, Eino Shemra. Now, what if he was wrong? Bein Baal, Ubein Lo Baal. According to the Tanakama, he's subject to all the penalties of Motzi Shemra, even if they didn't have relations. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Amar Lo Nemar Dvar Malala L'Kishabal. And Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says, no, it only subject when they had relations. Bish Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Hayna Dichsiv. Now the Gemara is going to point out, it's going to be the easiest job to defend Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, because you have all the psukim that support him. Ubala Ve'Krave Laha. Read the psukim. He has relations with her. Ela Rabbanah Mai Uvala Ve'Krave Laha. Ba'ala Ba'alilos Ve'Krave La Bidvarim. Ba'ala means he charged her. Ekravala means he libeled her. Once again, according to Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, I get it. The Torah says, I didn't find your daughter to be a virgin. Meaning, witnesses are saying otherwise. Not because I know, but because the witnesses are saying it. Bisham le Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hayne dichsiv eila besulei biti. Ela Rabbanan, mai ve'eila besulei biti. Once again, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the Torah goes on to describe how the father of this woman is going to be bringing out the bedsheet. showing, demonstrating that she was a besula. According to the Chachamim, what's that pasuk talking about? Ve'ela kishrei besulei biti. To which he says, no, it's not talking about the actual bed sheet, it's talking about the witnesses. Bisham Rav Elazar ben Yaakov hayna dichsu v'farsu asimla. Ela l'rabbana mai uparsu asimla. Once again, the Gemara points out for, I think, a fourth time now, the Pesukim are just much more supportive of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. According to the Chachamim, how do you understand the spreading out of the sheet? Am Rabbi Abahu, Pirshu Masha Samla. The Pirshu over here just simply means it was clarified. The issue was clarified. Kiditanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Uparsu Asimla Malami Shabayim Eidim Alzeh, Ve'idim Alzeh, Ubaran Asadavar Kisimla Chadasha. Everything gets clarified. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Dram Kich Savam Simla Mamash. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, no, don't read the pasuk that way. Simla means Kipshuto. It means the actual bedsheet itself. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, we did okay today in terms of trying to make up ground. We're almost finished with the Gemara's discussion of Motzi Shemra. We just have a little bit more to go to finish up. And then tomorrow we start an entirely new sugya in the Masechta, almost like a real change of topic. Tomorrow we talk about the rights a father has within his daughters.